And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Each week, Ray spotlights in-depth interviews with legendary and up-and-coming authors and music artists. Ray also features the movers and the shakers of the music and publishing industries and suggests important methods for getting the most out of your public relations and marketing needs. Please welcome music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Ray Shasho, broadcasting from BBS Radio, and welcome to the show, where we spotlight legendary and up-and-coming music artists and authors, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or visit www.publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Chuck Negron, formerly of the Three Dog Night, has been captivating audiences for over five decades with his iconic vocals, unique humor, and brilliant storytelling. His catalog of hits are timeless and appeal to music fans of all ages. 1967, Negron became a founding member of Three Dog Night, a vocal trio having roots in R&B, rock and roll, and urban doo-wop, creating a style of music that was totally new and unique. The role was introduced to Negron in Three Dog Night 1969 by the band's first million-seller One. Driven by Negron's solo lead vocals on four million-selling singles, three number one records, one which topped the charts for 6 weeks, Joy to the World, five top five hits, and seven top 40 hits, he put and kept Three Dog Night on the charts for 6 years. He performs upwards of 70 shows a year, giving audiences the opportunity to hear his impressive volume of hits, plus an exciting repertoire of new songs. He will also be announcing the release of multiple special projects in 2018, all while celebrating 26 years of sobriety after an infamous and very public life or death battle with addiction during his Three Dog Night years. On June 30th this year, Negron released the album he's always wanted to release with daughters Charlie and Annabelle, also featuring three previously unreleased Three Dog Night tracks. The album titled Negron Generations is available now at chucknegron.com and all digital music outlets, including amazon.com. The unreleased tracks were recorded by the band in the mid-1970s, prior to their breakup in 1976. The Letter, Save Our Ship, and This Is Your Captain Calling feature that iconic sound that could only come from original vocalists of Three Dog Night, Corey Wells, Danny Hutton, and Chuck Negron. Chuck, Charlie, and Annabelle created a unique harmony blend that only a family can. The sisters' lead vocals on the Ronettes, Be My Baby, Do I Love You, are compelling. The evocative account of how Chuck Negron went from the height of worldwide fame and success to the depths of delusion, despair, and almost death is documented in hundreds of new photographs and the 11 new chapters of Three Dog Night 4th Edition. The journey is very sad in places, uplifting in others, as Negron tells it like it was. If you like the music of Three Dog Night, you will be captivated by the honest narratives about what was happening behind the scenes shared by Chuck Negron. The book is available very, very soon, December 5th, in a worldwide release with all pre-sale copies signed by Chuck. Order your copy now at www.chucknegron.com. Chuck's lead vocals featured on many of the band's iconic hits, including Joy to the World, Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog, One Is the Only His Number, Easy to Be Hard. Joy to the World topped the charts for 6 weeks. Three Dog Night had 21 consecutive top 40 hits, 12 gold albums, over 50 million albums sold. Chuck left the band in 1985. Chuck Negron will be performing on the critically acclaimed Happy Together tour in the summer of 2018, along with the Turtles featuring Flo and Eddie, Gary Puckett and Union Gap, Mark Lindsay, former lead singer of Paul Revere and the Raiders, The Association, and the Cowsills. Please welcome singer, songwriter, composer, author, and the legendary voice of Three Dog Night, Chuck Negron, to the Ray Shasho Show. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, man, that was quite a mouthful. Jeez.
I guess we're done, huh?
Yeah, when I was writing that, I didn't realize it was so long.
Well, thank you for writing that, by the way. I appreciate it.
Yes, of course.
First of all, I want to say...
I have to tell you, none of it's true. None of it's true. I made it all up.
Well, it doesn't matter. It sounded good.
good, yeah.
Last time we talked, we chatted in 2013, and I think I was interviewing everybody from the Happy Together tour, and it's a great show. I've covered it many, many times at Ruth Eckerd and Clearwater, and I'm happy you're aboard again for 2018.
Yeah, you know, it's fun, and it's kind of, you get to be like family. You know, you spend so much time together on the bus. The majority of the time is spent traveling. So, you know, my bus is the association and the councils and the crew, which, of course, we've always been with the crew, and my girlfriend, Amy. So, you know, it's like really, it's like going and seeing old family again. It's nice.
Oh, it's a great show. It's an awesome show. I recommend everybody to see it. And I'm excited you guys are coming back again. First of all, Chuck, I want to say, how's your family in Puerto Rico, man? How did they weather the storm?
Oh, you know what? They're okay. Boy, God, that was terrible. I mean, they were out without electricity forever.
I know.
And, it just goes to show what nature can do. And, you know, you can prepare only so far, and then, the rest is out of your control. But thank you for asking. Yeah, they are okay.
You know, I never realized Puerto Rico was that vulnerable, you know. I'd never been there, but I never thought that they were that vulnerable to a big hurricane like that. I didn't think the power would go out for that long, you know.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's out there in the middle. You know, it's an island, so it's,
yeah.
Yeah, it came through and just tore things up. It affected a lot of people. I was watching a show, and one of the people on the show couldn't leave, and their family was, kind of the house was torn apart, and so it affected a lot of people.
It did. Yeah, and you're very well known down in Puerto Rico because you were inducted into their Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah. Well, I paid them. I had to do it. I find that works a lot. You know, people just like money.
Exactly. Back in the payola days, it really worked.
For you.
Yeah, thanks for the check. I appreciate that.
You got it, man. Will you have me on again? I'll give you a little more.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Listen, man, I'm very sorry about Corey Wells. He was a great singer, part of a great band, and I know that hurt you very much to lose him.
You know, we were kids together, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
We were in our 20s. We came from just all trying to find some success, earn a living in a business that we loved, and we did it together. We shared so much, and there was so many years I just didn't see him, and then luckily a couple of years before he died, I reached out to him and sent him a song I had written. It's a song called "I'm Sorry," and he wrote me back, and we started corresponding. So we kind of made it on our amends. But, yeah, Corey was the best singer I have ever worked with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy, not only could he sing, but he just could, Amy, he could just perform. I mean, this guy could perform like anybody's business. I mean, the first show that we ever did together, this guy started dancing all over the stage and Danny and I are looking at that one another going, oh, we're screwed. He was so good. And we really had to adapt to adjust to what he was doing. And that was the basic energy that started the whole excitement of Three Dog Night. Actually, it was Corey Wells. We did it because, we had to keep up with him.
Yeah.
So it was... He was just wonderful and a nice. He was a nice guy. He was a simple guy. He didn't go out to the clubs. I mean, once in a while, go to a blues club and go up and jam. But he didn't hang out with the girls. He didn't do any drugs. We'd be coming home at 5 a.m. After out all night, and he'd be sitting in a bass boat connected to a limo. You know, he was going fishing.
Right.
You know, so he was just his own man, and he didn't let any of that stuff affect him. And then we lost Jimmy, who was really kind of the musical, the melody of the band. He was so melodic and probably the nicest guy, one of the nicest people except for Floyd that I've ever met. Floyd and I are going to lunch. We're going to lunch today, so.
Oh, awesome.
I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Isn't Floyd from Canada originally?
Yes, yeah, Floyd is from Canada.
He's from Canada,
funny. Well, you know, the first time we saw Floyd, we went to a club, and his band was backing the Drifters.
Right.
And, you know, it was a black club, and it was a black club. It was an R&B place. So,
right.
You know, when we met him, just I guess our impression, he was a big, big guy, and, mm-hmm. you know, was different. And we went, hey man, we'd like to talk to him. He goes, yes. You know, Canadian. Speak, you know, he was just a special guy. He is a special guy.
He's a good drummer. Very good drummer. And he did some stuff with Cheech and Chong, too, didn't he?
Chong, Tommy, married Floyd's sister.
Floyd's sister, yeah.
Yeah, Floyd's sister. So Ray Don Chong is Floyd's niece.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Yeah. We always used to say, hey, bring him around. He went, no way. No way.
I don't blame him. You know, one guy I don't understand is Danny Hutton, you know, and I know you might stick up for him, but, you know, the guy, he's got some issues there, you know, feeling like a third wheel. I know you've mentioned that in an interview, like a second or third wheel. He doesn't mention you in a lot of interviews. I don't even think the website, the Three Dog Night website, has anything about you. What is his problem?
It's very strange. Danny, my theory on the whole thing, and I've seen it happen with guys that are influential in starting bands, you know, like they're the first guy and they help put it together. They're usually the weakest link.
Right, right.
So Danny, he ran the band. I mean, we all respected him. He was the guy. And, you know, I had no problem with him, you know, help picking the producer and talking to the record company because, you know, he was cool, you know. I didn't want to do it. So when we started doing our thing and started touring, every day someone else stepped up. And you start realizing the only guy that hasn't been able to step up is Danny.
Right.
Because you know what? He's not getting as good as we are.
Right.
You know, we were all equal until we started learning our trade. And then it changed. Like Corey went right to the top, you know, and then I followed, and and then it was guys in the band, and then Danny was in there somewhere. So he went from a band that was his to becoming kind of a background singer. And in his defense, that must have been devastating,
mm-hmm.
you know. And no one delegated that or relegated that. I mean, that's how it happened. And he really didn't have the ability to pick great songs, so. You know, Corey and I are picking one hit after another and finding great new writers. And Danny, he didn't even pick Liar. Jimmy Greenspoon picked it for him. And the first song he did pick, which was, you know, down in the mid-70s, was Black and White, which was fantastic. So, you know, he had a hard time. He had a lot of baggage. So when he finally got control of the band, he was totally unwilling to let it go. And, and to let it go, he knew it would have happened again if he brought me and Floyd back.
Yeah.
Because it would just happen again because he just couldn't compete.
Right.
So, you know, that's the baggage, you know, he takes. And, you know, I hope he's, hey, Floyd. Floyd just walked in.
Oh, yeah?
You look good, man. I'm doing an interview.
Let me do one, too. Whoever
all right.
Here it is.
Get Floyd on the phone. No problem.
Hello?
Is this Floyd?
Hello? Yeah.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Who am I speaking with?
This is Ray from the Ray Shasho Show. We're on the radio.
Oh, very good, Ray. How you doing?
Hey, man. You're a great drummer, dude.
Good.
And we miss you.
Yeah, I miss you too, you know. I want to get back in the band and start playing some more.
I know. We need to hear you again, you know. We need all these great drummers back, and I know you did a lot of stuff with Cheech and Chong. And What are you doing lately?
I play at church every Sunday, but I've done some little recording up there with a couple of little groups, but nothing, you know.
Right.
You know, I'm on Chuck's album, latest album, which is a wonderful. Isn't that a wonderful album?
It is.
Have you
it
heard
really
it?
It really is.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It really is. You guys got
to
do.
Need to hear.
You guys got to do some stuff together, you know, and incorporate some other people, and put something together.
I'm ready to do it.
Yep.
Well, listen, I'll put you back on with Chuck now. Nice talking to you.
Good talking to you too, Floyd. We miss you, man.
All right, now.
Take care.
You too.
You know, Floyd is mind blowing. He's in a thong.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. Nice man.
Good guy.
He's just a good man.
Yeah. You said you were going to put a Beach Boys Three Dog Night mega concert together back then. That didn't happen. So, you know, if Danny ever gets into his senses, how about a Grand Funk Railroad Three Dog Night tour?
Wow, that would have been good.
Yeah.
So, you know, that would have been good. I like Grand Funk. Actually, we worked with
Mark,
the guitar player.
Oh,
Mark.
Yeah, Mark Carter, yeah.
He does quite a show.
He's awesome. I love Mark.
Hard.
I love Mark.
Yeah, he's very, very talented guy.
Yeah.
You know, as far as at this point with Joe Shermy and Jimmy Greenspoon and Corey Wells gone, I mean, you know, there's no sense in even, you know, doing it. And it's kind of a very, very sad that Danny was able to put it off and get away with it. So it's, you know, because in the CAA wanted to do a tour. And this is before Fleetwood Mac did theirs.
Right.
And they said, you guys got to get off the road. I'll get Three Dog Night off the road. You get off the road. Do for a year. We'll woodshed you for a year in rehearsals and blah, blah, blah. Just what they did with Fleetwood Mac. And Danny wouldn't do it.
Yeah. He's got issues.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. You know, but I hear he looks really bad.
You know, I don't know if you know, maybe you should just, you know, call it quits, cuz you know, you only got him and the guitar player Michael, right?
Awesome. I don't understand. It's like karaoke. I mean, he only sang two songs.
It's like a cover band.
It's karaoke night. You know? Cuz we got these other guys singing the songs, you know. It's like at any rate, you know, God bless him. He's, you know, he's got a family, and
yeah,
you know,
right.
He's not very attractive. So I mean, he's got to live with that. You know?
That's funny.
And he's got these glands. He smells.
I like how you're getting your shots in here. That's good.
I wouldn't say anything bad about the jerk. I mean, sorry.
That's funny. I've heard this a lot of the guys I interview, you know, talking back and forth.
I'm not bitter.
Oh, man. Way, you got to do some stand-up.
Tell him if you see him. I was with his girlfriend.
Yeah. Huh.
You had an affair with his girlfriend. Just tell him that.
All right. You know, you're very appreciative when you get your start. I know you thanked John Kay and Steppenwolf. I guess they came in and got you on a bill with them in the day.
They did it for us.
Yeah.
We opened for them when they were doing, you know, 15,000 seat places, and man, if I was him, I would have fired us. I mean, we stole the show every night, and he just said, "Look, I do what I do, and I'm not worried." And you
right.
know, so he was, you know, real, you know, solid. He didn't kind of socialize with us. But then none of us were into handcuffs and whips. Oh, I didn't say that.
I've interviewed John. He's a good guy.
John's a good guy. Oh, yeah, John's a pro. He's been doing it for a long time. He looks great.
Yeah, he does look good. Yeah.
Yeah, and his wife, I mean, that woman's been with him, you know, from back in the day. I mean, how many people are still with their wife? It's amazing.
That's right. That's amazing. You're right. I agree with you.
Yeah.
You actually...
I thought by the time I'd be with his wife.
You actually you helped Elton John, and he didn't really give you guys much thanks, did he?
You know what? I don't understand that, because when we did Elton's song on the second album, and it was, he had never, no one had ever recorded any of his music.
Right.
We were the first band. And in London, him and Bernie followed us everywhere.
Yep.
And they played them their music. I mean, your song, Take Me to the Pilot. We said, send this stuff. It's great. And, you know, they were really just really looking for a break and looking for some help, and we gave it to them.
Yep.
And so I didn't get it, because he really loved the band.
Mm-hmm.
He loved the band. And so I don't get that he doesn't say anything and really never has.
Yeah.
So, you know, but that, it is what it is, but I'm just surprised.
Was that Lady Samantha or your song? Which was the first song you did?
No, first was Lady Samantha.
Lady Samantha.
Then we got your song.
Right.
And we all decided that this song's just a little too good. I think he's done it. I think this is going to be a single for him. You know, maybe we should leave it alone.
Right.
And Danny wanted to do it, so, you know, it became an album cut. You know, the best song written in the last 20 years, Danny managed to make it an album cut.
Mm-hmm. So you were the... You were actually the first guy that... You laughing with Floyd back there? Or
Yeah, Floyd's just going, what is, don't say that, Chuck, because you know, Floyd's a nice guy.
You're a funny guy. I saw a YouTube video you did with, I think it was your dog, making fun of your dog. Do a lot of funny things on you. You did a lot of live stuff on Facebook.
You know, my girlfriend erases them all. My manager erases them all. She says, that's just too it's too controversial. I said, it's a dachshund. Give me
a
break.
I think they're funny. You were talking, I don't know if you were talking politics or something on Facebook once. We're Facebook friends. And everybody just got on your case about something. I remember that. Do you remember talking about that?
You know what it is? And actually, I did it to prove a point, and then I just had to get out of there.
But I know.
Basically, the people don't understand that we have gotten to the point, we do not tolerate other points of view. No one wants to learn.
Right.
No one wants to discuss intelligently.
Right.
All they want to do is win.
Yep.
And shut the other people up. I mean, the First Amendment in colleges is about, you know, I mean, freedom of speech is shut down because they just stop anyone they don't want.
You're right.
And since most of the colleges are liberals, the professors, that's the point of view.
Yep.
Now, I'm not saying liberals, conservatives, I'm not picking either side, but what I'm saying right now is, it's very sad because these kids are not getting the opportunity to understand really what the First Amendment is.
Right.
So everyone can speak, you know.
Right. I agree with you 100%. Yep. I'm on your side, by the way.
Anyway,
I know where you're headed.
It's kind of a sad time. And we have a president that is, you know, hated. It's a sad situation where it's just constant attacks on a man and you know, it's a shame if it is. He's just not very articulate. He's definitely not smooth. You know, so it's, you know, he kind of sets himself up.
Well, he's a businessman, you know. He's good at it. He's good at being a business guy, you know. And I think that's what the country needed.
Guideline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, hopefully he'll come up with something that you know, everyone goes, okay, good, he did something good. You know, hopefully.
Right,
we'll
exactly.
See. We'll see.
I doubt it. He'll probably do something great, and they still won't acknowledge him.
Yeah,
that's just the way it is.
Pretty well low. He's loathed. I love his daughter.
Yeah. He's got a beautiful wife.
So nice.
I tell you that.
She's really pretty, isn't she? Oh, really? I think she's really lovely.
Yeah, she is.
I like her. I have some pictures of her that I love. You want a picture? I'll send you a picture. My people talk to your people, exchange pictures. The Melania and the...
That's funny.
No, she's, you know what, I don't know why they pick on her. She's lovely.
I know. They made a big deal about her wearing high heels. Remember that?
Yeah, I, you know, come on.
Yeah, I mean, come give her a break.
I don't get it.
Yeah, she looks pretty cool by his side. You know, I think she looks pretty cool.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. I think, you know, well, anyway, you know, it's just kind of a weird, you know, a weird time.
It is. It's a very
anyway,
strange
time. Anyway, so this is what I was thinking. I was thinking I've got some special pictures of myself that maybe we could get out there and send out to the world and kind of flex some muscles and stuff.
Yeah, I'm waiting for your next post on Facebook.
Yeah.
Or live live event.
Oh, I did one last week, and they all attacked me again.
I know. I was defending you, by the way.
You know, the kneeling deal.
Yeah. That's right.
The football.
You know, I don't watch football anymore because of that.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people, you know, I just, you know, the bottom line, this is the workplace.
That's
you know,
right.
If anyone went to work and started kneeling around, they'd be fired.
Exactly. See, you were brought
anyway,
upright like me.
Well, you know, it's a bit, you know, it's a bigger issue, and you know, hopefully, it's resolved. Let's pick a better time, a better venue.
Right. Don't do it during the national
anthem.
You know what would really
be powerful?
What's that?
If they go out, they get on the field, they get ready for the kickoff, and they take a knee. If that's what they really want to do, it then.
Do it then, right?
You know, hold up the game. You really get some press.
I agree with you. Yep, they're pissing off a lot of people, you know?
Yeah, well, because they're disrespecting, men that died.
That's right. Chuck, one thing, I hope Three Dog Night gets in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because it's way overdue.
I don't get that. You know, I mean, every Hall of Fame there is based on figures, on accomplishments.
Right.
And this is based on... If I like you.
If I like you, yeah,
you know,
pretty much.
Cachet, and it's like, yeah. I don't get it. You know what I mean? You know, I know there are people out there that like the Velvet Underground, so, you know, I don't want to offend them, but the Velvet Underground never even had a top 100 record.
I know.
They never got on the charts. They were in the Hall of Fame. I mean, so what did they do?
How about the guys like the Beastie Boys? I don't get that, you know? I mean, they didn't pay their dues.
At the beginning, what are they considered, rap or hip-hop? I don't know what they're considered.
Who knows? It's not rock and roll, I can tell you that.
No, it's not rock and roll.
Yeah,
that's another thing. Those things aren't rock and roll.
Right. I was a top 40 DJ back in the late 70s, so I understand it all, you know? I know what, you know, when you have a hit, you have a hit in the top 40. You guys should have been in the first round, you know, just based on stats.
Yeah, we haven't even come up. I don't think we have even come up.
No, you haven't, which is ridiculous.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
You know? Oh, well. My thing was for my family, my mother and father, my sister. I knew that that would be so important to me. When they passed, I didn't care anymore. Because, I don't care. You know, I mean, if I get in, that's nice. If I don't, I did the work. I'm comfortable with what we did. So, you know, so right now I've kind of let it go. And I'm not going to hurt any of them.
Yeah. Well, eventually I think you'll get in. I really do.
Well, that would be nice. I just hope I'm alive.
Chuck, you look great, man. How you feeling? You feeling all right?
I mean, you know what? I'm good. Well, you know, I'm coming up on 60 pretty soon.
Well, you look 40, so. You look good.
Yeah, good. Thank you. I tie my skin back in the back of my head. Like they used to do in the 30s and 40s, how they pull it back and then tape it. They did that. Did you know that?
Did they really do that?
Yeah, they did. They did. They took the skin, they put the little tape on it, and then they put it back, and then they taped it behind the head. Yeah, sure. Yeah, they could put it behind the hair.
So that's what you do, huh?
Yeah.
They used to tape years back.
Yes, they did that with Bing Crosby.
That's right, and I think Clark Gable. Yeah.
He was the prototype for that elephant that flew.
Dumbo?
Yeah.
Chuck, we got to talk a little bit about what you got going on. You got Three Dog Nightmare, fourth edition, which includes 100 of new photographs and 11 new chapters. It's a great book. I've read it. My wife has read it. She's a nurse. She appreciates it. I got my favorite cousin of all time died of drug addiction.
Oh.
So I understand exactly. I got my best friend committed suicide. So it's very, very dear to my heart to read this story and have a positive, something positive come out of it. And God bless you for writing it, man.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm thank God I got it right. It's required reading in several rehabs.
Yep.
It's done really, really well for people with problems, and that's what I want. I wrote it for, so hoping it would help someone. So I'm glad it did.
You know, I think drugs are more prevalent now than they ever have been. I live in Sarasota, actually, in Florida, and Bradenton is one of the top cities for heroin addiction, which is, it's just crazy. I've never seen anything like it, and the opioids as well are, a big problem.
I think you're right. It's more prevalent than it's ever been.
Right.
And the thing is, there's no longer the stigma that used to be associated with heroin addicts. I mean, they were the low, because now the school teachers, there's mothers, fathers, the high school valedictorian. I mean, it's anybody.
That's right.
And a lot of it comes off the opioids. These people get hooked. And then, they can't get any more drugs, and pills, and they go out and they do heroin. So it's very, very sad. And, people are dying all over the place. It's
like crazy.
Really
like crazy.
A tragic thing. And I've heard no plan to help it. Now, in the 30s, I think it was the 30s, when heroin came out, initially it was the wonder drug, and you could get it over the counter.
Wow.
Until they realized it was just too strong, and they just stopped it. Now, I do not understand why they don't do that now. These opioids are just too, that's it, gone. They're no longer like they did with Quaaludes.
Right.
Gone. It's too dangerous, and just stop it. Why? Because the drug companies are too big.
That's the problem. They're running the show, and they can get away with anything. Basically, but but why don't they come up with a cure for cancer? That's another thing. Are they holding that back? Do they really have the cure? Are they making too much money? That's another issue, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, God, I wish. I hope they get it because my sister died of cancer. People all around me are dying of cancer.
Me too.
Terrible.
Me too. It is terrible.
Terrible thing. It's just every year. This one died. This is a cancer.
I know.
I mean, it's
horrible.
Oh, my God. It's so sad. Yeah, you would think they would find, something.
Well, one good thing, and this is good for addicts, too, is the cure for Hep C with Horvoni, because that does work. Honest-to-God cure for Hep C, which a lot of addicts have, a lot of people have from back in the
60s. Yeah, I do. I have it.
Yeah. Have you got rid of it?
Yeah, I started 20 years ago. I started with Chinese herbs for the liver, all the organs, and for my lungs. And boom, zero, and it's been zero for years.
Awesome.
Non-detectable.
Awesome.
I've been very, very lucky.
Awesome. That could get into some worse stuff, down the pike.
Oh, man.
A lot of people don't even know they have it,
Yeah. A friend of mine, that happened. He was a bodyguard, and he was doing a movie with Stephen Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
And, he used to go to bed very early, and he went and he stayed up too late, and he ended up in the hospital with pneumonia, and he was dying from Hep C.
From Hep C. That's a shame. That's a shame.
Yeah.
The other thing that's it's ridiculous is the suicide rate, and especially in the music industry.
Oh, my God.
Chris Cornell, Chester Bennington.
I started reading since since they, you know, have this whole, this transgender, you know, issues, and of course, people are going over the top with, you know, showing that they care so much that, you know, let them, you know, let them go in all the bathrooms, you know, in 4 year olds and 3 year, you
right.
know, it's, you know, it's like, but to see how many of them kill themselves because they
yeah.
can't deal with, you know, so it's like, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, living you know, very, very, you know, hard lives. Luckily, the world seems to be a little more accepting of those kind of issues because they realize they're just people.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, in the music industry, have you ever run into the Illuminati? You know, that a lot of people say it's true. A lot of people say it's false, that it doesn't exist. And then you hear all these ties in the music industry and people dying, and you know, it's. Have you ever heard of anything in the music industry about them?
Well, there are different things that do come up, and you know, there was the Scotti Brothers, you know, Casablanca
mm-hmm.
Records that was always touted as a connected label and a lot of stuff. And then you have the people we worked with, Three Dog Night,
right.
You know, one guy was a bookie, and you know, and a manager, but he was a bookie. You heard him yelling on the phone for collections and stuff in the office.
Yeah.
And when our business manager wanted us to leave, you know, you need to leave this stuff, he was shot.
Really?
He was shot. Our business manager got shot, man. You know, it's like, and, you know, he lived, but you never saw him again. He went into hiding. Cause
right.
He, you know, so who the hell, they were connected with somebody.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, there's
so,
the...
You know, there's a lot of senses, it's a dirty business.
Right.
But it's, you know, the corporations that stay, the big ones, you know, they're corporations. They don't give a crap about anything.
Right.
But their money, their bottom line.
Yep. Yeah, I talked to Tommy James about, you know, his connected label.
No, actually, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that his thing was had some connections and stuff. He was really made great records.
He did make good records back in your time, I guess. It started in the early 60s, I guess.
A little before us. But even you know, our time, just a little before us. But then he had a nice long career, so he was around when we were. I always liked his music.
Yep. Good guy.
Okay, you know what? We got to go. I'm sorry. I just realized that I'm taking Floyd to lunch, and he's got another appointment.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
No. I was enjoying, talking to you. Actually, I've got to think you're cute. You know what I'm saying?
Chuck, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today, man, and for all the great music
you've
given us.
You're great. It's always nice. It's nice that you have me back, and I really appreciate it, my friend.
Good luck on the Happy Together Tour 2018. We'll circle back next year with you, okay? And the album is awesome. The album with you and your daughters is incredible. I gave it 5 stars.
Oh, thank you. Very kind. Very kind.
Okay. All right, Chuck. My best to you and Floyd. Take care,
okay.
Man.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. For further information and concert dates for Chuck Negron and the Happy Together Tour, for further information and concert dates for Chuck Negron and the Happy Together Tour, visit www.chucknegron.com. To purchase Chuck's latest release, Negron Generations, visit www.chucknegron.com or amazon.com. And to purchase Chuck's new book, which features the evocative account of how Chuck Negron went from the height of worldwide fame and success to the depths of delusion, despair, and almost death, documented in hundreds of new photographs in the 11 new chapters of Three Dog Nightmare, 4th edition. Visit www.chucknegron.com or amazon.com, and that will officially be released on December 5th. Also follow Chuck on Facebook, facebook.com/ChuckNegron. Very special thanks to Bev Mosier, Vice President of Publicity for the 117 Entertainment Group, and of course, the great Doug and Don Newsome with VBS Radio for making it all happen every show. Join me biweekly at our new time and date, biweekly Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern on The Ray Shasho Show. If you have comments or suggestions or would like to be a guest on the Ray Shasho Show, email us at ray@publicityworksagency.com. Don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of a Neglected American Family and the Wacky Family Business, or the second edition entitled Wacky Shenanigans on F Street, Proud to be Politically Incorrect in Washington, D.C., available now at Amazon.com. You'll live it. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to The Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by The Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Join Ray Shasho every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on PBS Radio, Station 1.